You still want to hear the word of the Lord tonight? All right. Would you just bow your heads? I want you to pray with me that God will enable me, or just believe me with God. That's what I want you to do. And agree with me that God will enable me to bring forth everything that he's been dropping in while we were standing there singing. All right? It just comes. You know, a little here and a little there, and I see how beautifully and how wonderfully it fits together, and I just want so desperately to get it all out in the same way that he gave it. Now, obviously, I wasn't able to take any notes there. I don't have it written down, and I'm kind of... One of our children clipped an article out of the... or a little thing out of a newspaper somewhere, and it was titled The Preacher. And the preacher had appeared one Sunday morning in the service, and he said to his congregation, he said, I'm not very well prepared this morning. I left my notes at home, so I'm going to have to depend on the Lord God in the morning service. Tonight I'll come better prepared. Now that's more true than funny. Amen? I used to come very well prepared. I don't come very well prepared anymore, except I come full of God's Holy Spirit, full of his word, trusting in him to speak and for him to minister. And he knows what it is he wants to say tonight. And I see the service taking this tone. So if you will just bow your heads with me for a moment, and we believe God together. Father, you said that if any two should agree as touching anything, that it would be done by our Father who's in heaven. Now, Lord, there are more than two here that are agreeing that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that the word of the Lord will come forth tonight in the same fullness that you've been ministering it to me. Every detail, Lord, that you want the people of God to have tonight, that it'll come forth boldly and clearly and in a way that will bless and will uplift and will set the people of God free and keep them free in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, we believe, Father, that it is your word that brings liberty. And we want liberty for all of God's children tonight. We ask you to bring forth this message clearly, powerfully, boldly, in a way that we'll all understand. Speak to us tonight, that rhema word of God, as the word is preached. Lord, just use me, use my lips and my mind and my heart and my body. Use everything that I am and everything that I have to cause this message to come through the way you want it to come through. And Lord, I pray that as I minister tonight, that the children of God would see you. I pray, Father, that your sons and daughters would see the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that they would sense the moving of your Holy Spirit. I ask you, Father, to speak in that way, that Jesus would be glorified and lifted up, that the people of God would be edified and built up, and that the Holy Spirit of God would have his perfect way to do whatsoever is pleasing in his sight. And we thank you, Father, for that which you're going to do, for we know that it'll be you that is working in us to will and to do of your own good pleasure. We give you the right to do it, Father. Encourage you to do it. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Turn to the 8th chapter, please, of John's Gospel. You know, God manifests himself in such a beautiful way. Sometimes he's so good that I really haven't gotten accustomed yet to how good God is. Now, some of you that really have known God personally for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50, 60 years, some of you that have really had a personal day-to-day relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, now you've known for a long time how good God was. But I didn't know that. For a lot of years, I heard he was good, and I thought he was good, but I didn't really know it. And it's only been a few years that I've known he's good, and you'll forgive me if I still marvel at God's goodness and at how just wonderful and how special he is, and I just love him with all of my heart. John's Gospel, chapter 8. beginning to read at the 26th verse. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I want to talk to you tonight about freedom, about liberty, true liberty, and where it comes from. We've heard God's word shared in several ways tonight, by testimony, by singing, by the solo that was ministered, by the choruses that we've sung, and one of them in particular really ministered to me when we sang, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God, and I want to share with you about that a little later on as I talk, and how that particular passage of Scripture really set me free in an area of my life. Jesus said these words, Continue ye in my word, then shall ye prove to be my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. They said, We're Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage to anybody. Jesus said, You don't know what you're talking about. If you don't know the Son of God, and if you do not know the Word of God, you are not free. For he that doeth sin is in bondage to sin, or is the servant of sin. Jesus said something so profound in these few verses that not very many of the people of God really understand what he was saying. Most of the people in this world, including most of the Christians in this world, most of our brothers and sisters, are yet in bondage, are yet still locked up in prisons. Jesus said one day when he was in Nazareth, he was ministering. In the 4th chapter of Luke, it's recorded as he stood up to read one day, which was the custom in the synagogue, and was given unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he looked in the book to find the place where it was written. In the 61st chapter of Isaiah is where this passage is written. Luke records it in Luke 4:18. And Jesus read these words out of the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. He says, I came to set at liberty those that are bruised and are bound, and I came to bring deliverance to the captives. Now, how did he do it? How did he do it? In the passage of Scripture we just read, he said these words, I do nothing of myself, but my Father hath taught me, I speak these things.
Jesus set the men and women of his day free by the power of the word that he spoke. The leper came unto him one day, and Jesus said, "What do you want?" And he said, "If thou wilt, you can make me clean." And Jesus said, "I will. Be thou clean." And the man was cleansed. One day towards the end of his ministry, Jesus was ministering in another town, and he heard that his friend Lazarus was sick. And he came 4 days later, and Lazarus was already dead, and he was laying in the grave. Jesus stood outside the grave, and after he had spoken to his father, he said these words, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus was set at liberty from the power of death, and he was restored to life. He said to you, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Those of you who have obeyed the words of Jesus and have come unto him, he has given you rest. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He said, "If you'll continue in my word, then shall ye be my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So many of the people of God, I fear that even some of us who are here gathered in this room, in one area or another in our lives, still need the deliverance of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Still need to be set at liberty by the Word of God. It is the devil's work to bind. It's his work to lock up God's people, as well as his own, in the prisons of their mind, in the prisons of their circumstances, in the prisons of their traditions, in the prisons of their habits, as well as in the prisons of their sins and transgressions. That's only one kind of bondage. That's only one kind of prison. There are many good, normal people who are bound up in prisons in their minds. They're bound up in the prisons of their traditions. They're bound up in the prisons of what they've been taught. So was I. So were most of you. Most of you have been taught in your past experience that the age of miracles is past, that God's not doing those things today, and God forbid to speak in tongues. God forbid to feel the power of God. God forbid to have any joy in your life. God forbid to do anything that was not exactly orderly. We've been taught by the traditions of men to come into our church services and everything is nice and orderly. See, just like this. And we come in and we get a call to worship, we get an opening prayer. We get a hymn, then maybe we get a pastoral prayer, then maybe an anthem and an offering and a nice normal sermon, and then another nice normal hymn, everything nice and normal. We get a nice normal benediction and a God bless you. We normally shake the pastor's hand as we leave right on the dot at 12 o'clock. And we nice and normally walk out the front door bound by the same things that we were bound with when we came in. And Jesus Christ of Nazareth said this, "Ye have made of none effect the word of God by the traditions of men." Now, I want you to know that there's only one way to be set free from traditions. And that is with this right here. Right here. Right here. This. It's God's word. And Jesus said, "Thy word is truth, O God." And this is the word that'll set you free. And if there is bondage in your life, in any area of your life, I don't care what it is, there's only one way for you to be set free from it. It's by the power of God in his word. And this is where his power is. In Hebrews, the first chapter, it's recorded, "Thy word is thy power." He upholds the worlds by the word of his power. He spoke in Genesis 1:1. He said, "Let there be light," and glory be to God, there was light. He spoke it into existence. Jesus Christ said, "Be thou made whole," and the man was whole. He said, "Lazarus, come forth," and he came forth. He said, "Fear not," and the fear went like this. Freedom from bondage. Freedom from bondage. Freedom from bondage. So many people are trying to get themselves free from bondage of one type or another apart from the Word of God. Now, I'm here to tell you tonight, as a man of God anointed by the Holy Spirit of God to preach and to proclaim His Word, not because I'm anything special, but because He is, and because His call on my life is something special. And I declare it to you in that authority that there is no liberty, there is no freedom, there is no deliverance apart from the Word of God. Why do you think that the devil has tried to bind this Word so? Why do you think that in so many Christian churches, we hear almost no word? We hear almost no Bible. We hear maybe a verse or two, maybe 10 verses, and then a verse taken as a text, and we hear a little bit of that. And then we hear what all the theologians say. We hear what all of the magazines have to say. We hear what all the books have to say. I don't know about you, and please don't misunderstand me. Please don't misunderstand my approach. It has nothing to do with downing anyone else. It has to do with cautioning the people of God where true liberty comes from. True liberty will not come. True liberty will not come out of the Bible commentary. True liberty will not come from what Bonhoeffer has to say. Now, that's not to say anything about Bonhoeffer. But I don't want to know what Bonhoeffer has to say. I want to know what God has to say, because the deliverance comes from Him. It's His Word that sets the men free. And apart from this, there isn't any liberty. Now, you can look for it every place that men look for liberty and look for freedom, but you will look until you die, and there'll be no liberty for you apart from this book, apart from this Word. Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. He said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus is the Word made flesh. He's the one that sets you free. Now, let me tell you about freedom in God's Word. I've shared this with a number of you. I'm going to share it again because it's very important. I want to give you a couple of specific examples of what I'm talking about tonight. As most of you know, that until God called me into the ministry, I was a businessman. That was what I did. And my business had been successful, a very successful business, or I shouldn't say very successful, a relatively successful business. God had provided for us through that business very nicely. I'd never done anything in my business life that I had not been successful at. It had always been good. And then I met Jesus. And then I got filled with His Holy Spirit. And I was so in love with Him that my business, which had been my all in all, now didn't matter. I had a new all in all. His name was Jesus. And every day I would go to my office, and I don't recommend this to you, by the way. I'm just sharing with you what happened to me. If you work for someone else, you won't work for them long if you do this. But I would go to my office, and I had my Bible with me, and I'd take it in my office, and I would close the door. And they know at my office when I close the door that I'm out. So I would close the door, and I'd get my Bible, and I'd start to read. And I would pray, and I'd read that Bible. I mean, all day long. That's all I wanted to do. I'd come home and I'd sit down and eat supper. And as soon as supper was over, I'd excuse myself. And I would go find a quiet place and I'd get my Bible out and I'd start reading it. And I mean, I consumed it. I ate it like it was food. And bless God, it is food. It's food for the spiritual man. Well, while I was doing this, I don't mean I did it for a few days or a few weeks. I did it for a few months. And when a man does not attend to his business does not attend to itself. And it began to dribble away and dribble away and dribble away. At the end of each month, even before I would get my financial statement back, I knew what had happened. I knew I was losing several thousand dollars every month. And then I would get the statement back and it would just confirm what I already knew. And I'd sit there at my desk, and I would just begin to wonder, what am I going to do? Here I have a business that has been successful. I have a number of employees whose families are dependent upon the livelihood of that business. And here I am going off the deep end, you see, on some religious kick.
And a voice would come to me regularly, month after month after month. And it was a very quiet voice. And it was to this effect. Well, Vic, you know what to do. You know how to make your business run, and it will not run while you're sitting in here behind your desk reading your Bible. You've got to get out on the streets with your salesman. You need to get out in the territory with your people. You need to go see your customers. That business is not going to come in automatically. You know how to make it go. Now get out there and get it done. And right behind that would come another voice. And the second voice would say this, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you." Well, I know where that is. That's Matthew 6:33. Well, it didn't make any sense. The next month, I'd go through the same act again. Now, this went on for almost 18 months. Month after month after month after month after month. And we were losing thousands of dollars every month. And the business is only about 2 years old at that time, wasn't it? And we just didn't have that kind of capital. You know, we could lose that kind of money. Every month, month after month. Well, Vic, you know what it is. You got to get out there. If you're going to sit here on your duff, you can't expect God just going to rain it in on you. That voice would come behind, "Take no thought for what ye shall eat or what ye shall wear. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All the rest of these things shall be added unto you." After about 18 months of trusting God, now I don't mean I was lazy. Now don't misunderstand me. I told this story before, and I think some people think I was saying that laziness is next to godliness. That's not true. I wasn't lazy. I was up early in the morning. I was in my office where I was supposed to be early in the morning. I was looking after the things that I needed to look after. I was a steward of that which God had entrusted unto me, but I was following the leading of His Holy Spirit. In the 18th month, it was August of 1977. In 1 month, God restored unto me everything that had been lost in the previous 17 months. In 1 month, God restored it. Now, this is what I want to share with you. It was the Word of God that kept me free from bondage. It was the Word of God that set my heart at liberty. What word? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Because I knew in my heart, even though my books looked bad, in my heart I knew that if I would do the Word of God, that He would do His part. And when I sought Him every day, His kingdom and His righteousness, and I sought after Him and hungered and thirsted, as Cecilia was saying, hungered and thirsted after God and after His righteousness. And He restored everything to me. Liberty from bondage through the Word of God. Let me give you another example. This has just happened recently in my own life. And I can't tell you how important this is to me. And the reason I share it with you, normally I wouldn't share this, but I just feel impressed of God to share it with you, because while you'll not have this same problem, the solution is the same for the one that you do have. If the traditions of men have already told you that men don't speak in tongues in this modern day, then I want you to get free from that bondage, and I want you to get liberty in that area of your doctrine, and I want you to get it from right here. Read the book of Acts and read the book of 1 Corinthians, and let God's Word set you free from that doctrinal error. Ever since God has called me to be a pastor, the area that the enemy has tried to work on in my life has been in an area of
It's been self-condemnation, and I believe a lot of God's people suffer with this. I believe that there are a lot of beautiful, lovely, Spirit-filled and Holy Ghost baptized believers who suffer from this same oppression. And it's a bondage just as sure as leprosy is. Self-condemnation. And when God called me to pastor, I don't have any pastoral training, as you know. And I don't have the education that, you know, that a pastor normally would have to preach. I've never been taught. I told you one day I didn't even know how to take an offering. You recall that day? That was the day the people of God bought all these chairs. About $7,000 worth of them, about 100 people in that little room, you see. Praise God, I didn't know how to take it, because if I knew how to take it, I never would have been able to receive it right. The Holy Ghost knew how to receive that offering, you see. And we received it in the way He wanted it received. But because I never had the training, because I didn't have the education, and because so many other men did, also because of this fact, and I've shared this with you from time to time, what God has spoken to me personally in the Spirit, in my own private devotions, about what He's going to do with this fellowship right here, with this Water of Life Christian Center. This is a place and a people that are precious to God. Now, I don't tell you that to exalt you. Not at all. Because if it exalts you, then God's not going to be able to do His work in you. He that would be first in the kingdom of God must be last. Don't ever forget that. But God has something special and wonderful that He wants to do with you as a people. And I knew that. And then He said, I want you to pastor this people. And I said, oh no, I can't do that. I'm not equipped. I don't have the ability. I don't have the training. I don't have the skill. But He kept after me, and you know what happened there, and so I did begin to pastor. But every time I would do something that I didn't think maybe was quite right, something didn't really sit right on the inside. I just felt that the sermon wasn't any good. I'd go out of the service, everybody would be rejoicing and praising God and having a wonderful time. Everybody would say as it went through the door, beautiful sermon, Vic. And I would say on the inside of me, boy, that was awful. Why do people keep telling me that when it was so bad? I would go home and I'd get before God. I'd say, God, what'd you call me to do this for? There isn't any way that I can get this done. Then from time to time, there'd be murmurings and grumblings and complainings among the flock. And one sheep would say to another one, why did Vic do that? What's the matter with him anyway? You know, and that would come to me. The devil would be sure I'd get a hold of that. I mean, he makes sure that you always hear the bad things that are said about you. Every time those things would come, man, I mean, that would just destroy me. And that self-condemnation would come on me. And I never shared that with a lot of people. But that, because it's not the kind of thing you want to spread around, see? It's like cancer. I wouldn't want to give you any cancer if I had it. And I wouldn't want to give you this either, you see, when I had it. But week after week after week, it would go by like that. And just awful self-condemnation. And you don't know how it bound me and how it hurt. And then one day, that ain't going to work, is it? Then one day, I heard somebody on a radio. And he recited a verse of Scripture. I want you to turn to it. It's in 1 Corinthians. This is about, 3 weeks ago. No, about 5 or 6 weeks ago, I guess. I was going to work one morning, and I was listening to, it was Kenneth Hagin on the radio, on his teaching program. And he wasn't even teaching on this subject, but he read these verses of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse number 3 and 4. Paul writing to his church at Corinth, and he said these words. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. You see what it says? Paul said, it's not really important to me, church, that you should judge me. It's a very small matter to me that you should judge whether I'm doing good or whether I'm not doing good as your apostle. He says, I don't even judge myself on that score. He said, now, even though I don't judge myself, that doesn't mean that I'm innocent or that I'm perfect. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. And what Paul said here to his church at Corinth is, look, you didn't call me to the apostolic ministry. God called me. You didn't call me to be your apostle. God called me. And therefore, he's the one that is judging what I do. I don't even judge it myself. And it doesn't really matter what you think. It only matters what he thinks. And I want you to know that when I heard that verse of Scripture come, and I've read that verse of Scripture 100 times, give or take a few. But when that verse of Scripture came across the radio, God made it rhema in my spirit. And I said, that's it. That's it. Who am I trying to please? God or the church? And I want you to know that verse of Scripture, those two verses, have set me at liberty in this area of my life. No more self-condemnation. No more questionings and wonderings. No more agonizing on my face before God. Am I doing all right because of the way the people look? See? God's Word. Now, I suffered under that thing 1.5 years. And I mean it hurt, and it hindered the work of God. No more. Because God's Word has set me at liberty. Now I want to show you something else that Jesus said. He said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So you say to yourself, well, what do I do tonight, Vic, about this area of my life where I'm not at liberty yet, where I'm still bound? What do I do? You do what Jesus said. Continue in my word. Now, suppose I'd had my radio station tuned to some of the stations y'all listen to. How many of you know Z93? Yes, okay. You just chuckle a little bit. I know you know Z93. See? Now, if I'd have had my station tuned to Z93, I might have been doing this, you know, while I'm going down the street. Deep in my bondage, and I'd be in it today. Except no, I know, you see, I know that deliverance and liberty and freedom only comes from this holy word. And so I don't listen to Z90. Now, I say that because that's one of the loudest ones I know of, and it's one of the ones I dislike the most, because it is one of the loudest ones, all right? But I'm not taking any pokes at them or any more than anybody else. What I'm saying is this. If you truly desire to be set at liberty in one or more areas of your life, and it's likely that all of us are still in need of some freedom. Amen? Then I'm telling you tonight, under the Spirit of God's anointing, how to get it. It will not come apart from the Word. You'll not have it apart from the Word. I don't care how hard you seek. I don't care how long you seek. I don't care how diligently you seek. In any of man's ways. I'm going to tell you this. If there's cancer in your body, you can go to the medical doctor. The medical doctor will give you some pills or some shots or some medication. Praise God for those things. Now, don't y'all misunderstand me.